Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Glad to see you all here today. I wanted to speak to you today about when you make a decision and you decide, well, you're ready to join a church. How do you decide what church you're going to join? The best reason to pick a church would be the teachings of the church, the official teachings. Now, I remember years ago, I don't know, over 30 years ago, when I came to this church and I walked in the back door, I knew Anna Mae Huber, not real well, but I knew her, but she was the only one that I knew in this church. And I walked in, had no idea what to expect. I didn't know. The only thing I knew is that this church held church on Saturday. And I had become convicted that Saturday is the Sabbath, and that's the day we need to go to church. And so I came to this church with that expectation. But beyond that, I didn't know anything. But I did give my life to the Lord, and I told the Lord that whatever He taught me, I would be willing to accept. So that was mine. You have to be willing to be teachable to start with. So with that in mind, I wanted to have this message because I expect as the future goes by, the Adventist church will become more known in the public eye. So I want to take a little bit of time and talk about what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And I hope to debunk some of the fiction. There's a lot of things out there that are floating around out there about Seventh-day Adventists. Now, admittedly, we're a little bit different. For one thing, we come to church here on Saturday. What else makes us different? Well, in a word, Seventh-day Adventists are simply Bible Christians. Well, you might say, well, a lot of churches are Bible Christians. Well, if you want to find out what a denomination believes, you need to really know what their foundational documents say. You may know somebody who's a Baptist or a Methodist or Catholic or whatever, and they may or may not keep the beliefs of that church, and they may not even know what they all are. They may be there because of family history. Well, they'll tell you very clearly what one of our baptismal vows, if you understand the foundational documents. They'll tell you very clearly, and this book here, I have three or four of these actually. This is from Signs of the Times, and it says, "We believe, a brief explanation of the 28 fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventist Church." Now, when you get baptized in the church, you will know these beliefs and you will accept them. And I want to go through just a few of them here today, not all of them by any means, but just to give you an idea of where there might be some confusion about Seventh-day Adventist. Well, to start off, number one in this book is we believe the Bible is God's inspired word, and that it constitutes the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian. We believe and take the word of God quite literally. We believe it's the inspired, infallible word of God. You believe that? I don't know how you could argue with that. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass." That's from Matthew 24:35. So God's words are very important. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So it's really important what God says. It's not important what I say, what your pastor says, what your friend says. It's not really important what anybody says. It has to be measured up to God's word, and that is the Bible. So why Seventh-day Adventist? That's a little bit of an odd name. Well, simply, as far as I know, this is the only Christian church that keeps all Ten Commandments. One of the commandments say, remember the Sabbath day. So we worship on the seventh day of the week, Saturday. It's the Sabbath, seventh day. We don't see any evidence in the Bible or in history that has been changed by God. And so we're going to do just what the Bible says, and we're going to keep the Sabbath. The word Adventist means in the soon coming or the imminent return of Jesus. That's what that word Adventist means. We believe that we're a church that's been called to prepare the world for the advent of Jesus. We're in the last age, the last church, the age of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. There's the churches, and the Laodiceans, the last one, gives a description of them. So with that, we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists because we keep the seventh day. It's the fourth commandment. It's the one most of the world's forgotten. And we also believe that the imminent return of Jesus is soon. But first and foremost, we're Christians. So sometimes names can sound a little confusing. So let me just give a brief little bit of history about how our church came into being. Back in 1835, there was a great revival. It became known as the Second Great Awakening, or the Great Advent Movement. This was in 1835. And it's not to be confused with the Seventh-day Adventist. The Seventh-day Adventists were not organized as a church until 1863. I think some of them may have taken a name around 1860, but the church officially organized in 1863. So going back to 1835 through 1844, there was a movement called the Millerite Movement. William Miller was a Baptist Adventist. He was a Baptist that believed in the soon coming of the Lord. And there was a great movement that's known in history as the Great Disappointment. In October of 1844, Jesus didn't come. They thought he was going to come in October of 1844, but they read where Jesus was going into the sanctuary. They thought the earth was a sanctuary. They got mixed up on it, and they proclaimed that Jesus was going to come in October of 1844, and it didn't happen, and they felt very foolish. Well, after Jesus didn't come in 1844, there were Baptists, Methodists, Congregationalists, Presbyterians. All of these Christians from different churches said, well, let's study together. Let's go back. We've obviously misunderstood something. So in those studies from the Christians of many denominations, our church developed. They said, let's go back to the Bible. They realized there was several things they'd been following that were not biblical. And one of them was the second coming of the Lord. Can't set a date on that. So what we believe as a church came out of that Bible study, and it developed into the church that we are today in 1844. It became a church in 1863. Now, we believe in following the Bible and loving the Lord, loving your neighbor, and we also believe in serving our fellow man. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a worldwide community service program. We have a community service program here. We have one worldwide. It's called ADRA, Adventist Relief Development Agency. We go to countries around the world, especially when there's been a disaster. We provide relief plus ongoing help and developing countries to alleviate the needs of the people. So it's a worldwide relief agency. We have a very extensive health ministry network. We have 171 Seventh-day Adventist hospitals and sanitariums around the world. It is the largest Christian healthcare ministry next to the Catholics. And we've only been a church a very small, short period of time, relatively speaking. So in that short period of time, 150 years about, we have the largest healthcare network other than Catholics. Every year, almost 15 million people are treated in our hospitals around the world. Seventh-day Adventists believe the Bible teaches healthful living, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and resides with us and guides us and leads us to the Lord. So we believe we need to take care of our bodies. Now, a number of studies have shown that Seventh-day Adventists live on average 10 years longer than the average population. There was a National Geographic study not long ago where they studied blue zones around the world and one of the where different groups of people live. And one of them was identified at Loma Linda, California, where there's a large population of Seventh-day Adventists. And they studied this, and they determined that it wasn't really their race or geography that caused it. It was because of their belief and study system. They said the Seventh-day Adventists clearly live longer than average, and it was attributed to two things: rest and community on the Sabbath, and lifestyle. Now, there's something helpful about that. I know that I really enjoy having a day off the week, because when Adventists observe the Sabbath, we really do take that day off. And I don't have to worry about the phone ringing or feel guilty about not doing something. And also lifestyle. Now, I wasn't this person that I am today 40 years ago, not by any means. And thankfully, I came here, and now I'm still here. I didn't think I'd be here at this age. We abstain from unclean food. The Bible gives a description of clean and unclean foods, tobacco and alcohol, along with other important health practices. So we're a health-conscious people. So far, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Now, one of the things that is a question is, what do we believe about salvation? Now, one of the myths is that Seventh-day Adventists think that they're the only ones going to heaven. Ellen White, one of the people that studied back around 1860, has this book called The Great Controversy, and she wrote in this, "The greatest part, not the smallest, the greatest part of Christ's true followers are in the fellowship of other denominations." You understand what I mean? By no means do we think we're the only people that are going to heaven, our church. Now, with that being said, I don't necessarily agree with the teachings, a lot of teachings of the other churches, but God knows the hearts of the people that are in there, those churches. He loves them. They walk in the light they have. He answers their prayers, and they're His children as much as we are. The Spirit works in them, just like it works with us. But theologically, they might be wrong on some things. Now, I'm in this church because I believe it theologically is closer to the Bible, and that's why I came here all those years ago to come into this church on a Saturday morning, which was crazy, and go to church. And it wasn't long after that I ended up telling my boss that I had to have off on the Sabbath or I couldn't work for him. They let me off. So, praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm here because I think this church follows the Bible closer than any other church. Do the Seventh-day Adventists believe we are saved by works or faith? Faith. Does anybody really believe that we're saved by keeping the Sabbath or any commandment? Are you more saved by not committing adultery than any of the other commandments? Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Do we all believe that? Yeah, absolutely. "It is through faith alone we are saved." So there's another myth out there is that somehow we believe by not eating pork, we're saved. Not true. not true at all. You know, it. The Bible, when God gave them that, the trichinosis, but he also has reasons for a clean diet. A lot of the shellfish are bottom feeders. I mean, there's some health reasons there. Matter of fact, we're even more healthy to not eat any meat at all. But with that being said, I want to say something about the law and the Sabbath, backing up just a minute, that we don't keep the law to be saved. We keep the law and all of God's instructions because we are saved. Amen. Jesus says, if you love me, what comes first? Jesus says, if you love me, you love the Lord. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. If anyone says, I love the Lord and I don't keep his commandments, 1 John 2:4 says, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. That's pretty strong language. So we should keep 100% of the commandments, and we do when you consider the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. That Sabbath has never been changed. And you will find that a commandment in Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, of all the commandments, that's the only one that starts out with the word remember. That's the fourth commandment. Now, wouldn't it seem odd to you that God would say, oh, the one commandment that you're really supposed to forget about is the only one I said remember? Wouldn't that be strange? You have to ask yourself. It's no accident God said remember the Sabbath because it's the one commandment out of all 10 that the world's forgotten about. It's no accident it starts with the word remember. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he would go on and say, well, that's the one you're supposed to forget about. No, that's not the way it is. So we believe in keeping all 10 commandments. Now, I don't believe I'm saved more by keeping the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath, than I am by not committing adultery or by stealing or by lying. It's all part of God's law. And if we love the Lord, we're going to want to keep all of his commandments. You can't break one without keeping them all. One time I saw a great explanation of that. Somebody had a glass jar, and they had drawn out 10 squares on it and numbered them, and those were representative of all 10 commandments. Well, you couldn't go in and break one of those little squares without breaking the whole thing. So that's the way the commandments are. They're not individual parts, they're one group. Okay, so another difference about Adventist. We believe a little differently than evangelicals on what happens to you when you die. We believe that when a person dies, they sleep a dreamless, peaceful sleep in an unconscious state in the grave until the resurrection. Completely unconscious. That's what we believe. But what about the verse in the Bible that says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord? Or as soon as you die, you get ushered off to Abraham's bosom or somewhere in spirit form. And then when Jesus comes back, you get the body and then you have judgment. Well, we don't find that that's biblical at all. First off, it is true that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, meaning that if you're saved, you should die. Your next conscious thought is that you will be in the resurrection, and the Lord will be there. There is no awareness of time for you during this period, no matter how long you're in the grave. Now, God lives in all dimensions of time, but we don't. We live in time, and the resurrection hasn't happened yet. Christ said in John 6, verse 40, says, I'll raise him up the last day. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus says, I will raise him up in the last day. The idea that people go right to hell or to heaven as soon as they die before the resurrection, before judgment, is not biblical. And that was also the belief of many of the Protestant reformers. You've heard of Martin Luther. This was his quote. "For just as one who falls asleep and reaches morning unexpectedly when he awakes, without knowing what happened to him, we shall suddenly rise on the last day without knowing how we have come into death or through death." That was also the belief of William Tyndale. You've heard of the Tyndale Bible. Many evangelicals would be surprised how many of the great reformers believed exactly what Seventh-day Adventists believe about the subject of death. This is a fairly new phenomenon that when you die, you go straight to heaven. You've all been to the funerals. You've heard them. Everybody's preached into heaven. But the Bible is very clear. Now, let me read this to you in Ecclesiastes 9:5. "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." That is about as plain as that can be. "It is the living that praise the Lord. Those that die," it says in Psalms 146, "in that day their breath goes forth, their last breath, their lungs collapse, their thoughts perish, and they stop thinking." That's it. Their thoughts perish. There are about 12 resurrections in the Bible of people that have been brought back from death in the Old and New Testament. In every one of those cases, not a single person made any comments about knowing anything while they were dead. Wouldn't you think the first question somebody would ask, well, what was it like? What did you see? Did you see God? And the Bible records none of them having anything to say about their experience during death. And that's why, because the dead know nothing. That's very clear. But that flies in the face of what many Christians have heard for years. And I know this is troubling to many people because they say about their loved one, you know, I just feel their presence. You know, it's hard to be separated from someone you love. I personally find it comforting knowing that lost family members are dead and they don't know anything. They're not seeing the struggles here on earth, because life here on earth isn't a piece of cake. Okay, so now connected with that is also hellfire. During the Dark Ages, it was very profitable for the church to scare people out of their wits with the idea that the wicked are being tormented forever and ever and ever in an eternal burning flame. Can you imagine that? That's terrible. You're told as soon as you die, you might go to hell and burn forever and ever and ever for the sins of one lifetime. That also is not biblical. Jesus says there's two choices, believe and live. The devil said, you will not die. Remember that in the Garden of Eden? Told Eve, you eat of the fruit. Has God told you you would die? No, you won't die. Don't pay attention to God. You're not going to die. That's what he proposed to Eve. The doctrine that you just burn forever and ever comes from the devil. And it's repeated, unfortunately, by churches today. Many churches believe that when you die, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Hell, really, in the Bible, is Hades. It means grave or pit, if you want to go back to the Greek. Where in the Bible does it say that everybody has immortality? I mean, if when you die, you go to hell, straight to hell, or you go straight to heaven, you really never die. You just keep living. When Jesus comes, it says in the Bible, says, then this mortal will put on immortality. God and only God has immortality. The idea that sinners are immortal, well, you know, Satan might like to believe that, because even he's going to die. He'll be cast into the lake of fire and be consumed, and when he's gone, and that's the end of it. It's the same as for all sinners. Satan is not immortal. He just happens to be living a little longer than the rest of us. But the Bible teaches that we will be consumed, and once we're consumed, that's it. God gives us the gift of immortality at resurrection, and we don't have that yet. We haven't been resurrected. Hell is real. It's going to burn. People are going to be punished, but they'll be punished according to what they deserve. Malachi 4 says they're burned up. The idea of eternal torment to the lost was a medieval theology that has drifted over into the evangelical churches. It's not what Jesus taught. Back in the Dark Ages, medieval times, they scared people into giving them money. People didn't have the Bible, so they couldn't read it for themselves. So they had to go by what the parish priest said, and they were told that if they didn't, you can have forgiveness through the church and give us some money. We'll keep the church going and make sure you go to heaven. I'm just trying to highlight some of the things that's unique about our Adventist church, because we believe when you die, you're dead till the Lord comes back. Another belief that Seventh-day Adventists believe is that Jesus is our high priest. And the Bible does teach this. The Bible talks about it. Hebrews 8, verse 1 is clear. It says, "We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man." That's where we believe Jesus is at. He's our high priest, and he's in a tabernacle in heaven now. And I don't want to go too far off track, but his investigative judgment has begun. And one of these days, when he gets that done with the dead, he'll get to the living, and then he'll be coming back soon. Adventists celebrate communion. We use unleavened bread and unfermented grape juice. Now, we do that four times a year here. It doesn't get too redundant doing it every single Sabbath. That would be the same as Methodist and Baptist and Christian churches, but there are some Presbyterian churches and Catholic church use fermented grape juice. Now, we believe that the blood of Christ is a type, and that was unpolluted, and it is to be pure. So we use unfermented grape juice. And even Jesus hanging on the cross refused anything to numb the pain. Okay, so in finishing up here, now, I'm sure you've heard this, and if you go to the internet, you would certainly see it. The Seventh-day Adventists are a cult. Have you heard that before? I've heard it. I've read it. It pains me to see that. I've been in this church a long time, and I've studied the Bible. It's what brought me in, and I've continued to study. We're not a cult. If the Lord did have a unique church in the last days, and I believe the Seventh-day Adventists are unique because we're the only ones that keep all Ten Commandments, if the Lord had a church in the last days and they had a great revival of biblical truth and you were the devil, what would you do? You wouldn't want that. How would you portray that church that had a revival of biblical truth? Wouldn't you do everything to smear their name? They did that to Jesus, too. They smeared his name when he was on earth. They also did this to Paul. Listen to what they said about Paul. They called him a heretic. In Acts 24, verse 5, they said, "For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect, a cult, of the Nazarenes." This was their view of Paul. Paul was portrayed in the most violent and outrageous terms. Acts 24:14 says, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way," that's been written on caves, "the way, which they call a sect, So I worship the God of my fathers, this is Paul talking, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, believing all things that are written in the law and written in the prophets. And that's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, because that's what we believe, all things that are written. God says, remember, doesn't mean forget, oh, we're going to do away with that one. Now, some, I guess, we'll call our church a cult. But for me, it's all about, can you prove it from the scriptures? Not about if we're a cult, but what you believe, can you prove that from the scriptures? Now, I understand that different people are convinced differently. I understand that. But I believe that soon before Jesus comes back, there's going to be a great shaking in this world. I think you can see things now are not too great in this world. And I think people are going to be called back to biblical faith. They're going to want to know, where is God? How do I find God? And I'm not sure how all this is going to happen, but I know that we're starting to see signs in nature. God is sending warnings that it's time to get ready. I'm coming back. And the book of Revelation says when these things happen, the events of the end time will happen in rapid succession. So it'll be, when it starts to unfold, it'll be quickly. I believe something's going to happen. There's going to be a shaking, and it'll affect our church. It's going to affect the whole world, and people are going to be searching for God. Luke 21, verse 26, it says, men's hearts failing for fear. As these things in our environment continue on, it's going to become really bad. There's going to be, the Bible talks about a great time of trouble, Luke 21, 20 through 28. There's going to be a small time of trouble. Talks about it there in Luke 21, 7 through 19. And we haven't got time to go to all that, but you can read about it. During this small time of trouble, this is the time we're living in now. It's building up. We're in a small time of trouble, building to the great end time of trouble. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, those that want to receive God are going to know that the Holy Spirit is talking to them. He's drawing them. People are going to be digging into their Bibles like never before. And it tells us in Luke 21 again, this is all in Luke 21, verse 12, it says, we're going to be brought before the kings and rulers of this world to give a testimony as to why we believe what we believe. Why are you keeping the Sabbath? You're the only oddball people that are keeping the Sabbath. You're causing all these calamities to fall on this earth. And we want to know why you're doing it. Just speculating a little, but you can read it. We invite people to study the Word for themselves. As a church, Seventh-day Adventist, we invite people to study the Bible. It's just critical that you study the Bible. It's like I said, it's not what I say, not what the priest says, not what the pastor says. It's not what anybody says. You need to take the time to read the Bible. And if you have trouble reading the Bible, go get you an easy reading Bible. Get the idea of it there. And then when you learn about things, you have a question, then go back to the New King James Bible. That's your gold standard. And then dig it out and study it. If there's a verse that seems to contradict another verse, well, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, so then you need to take the time to study it out. I had a question when I first came into this church. I wanted to give my life to the Lord. I did, but, you know, I really like my beer, too. I embraced the Sabbath, and I embraced the state of the dead, and I thought, probably you shouldn't drink. But I wanted to, it would have been nice to have continued on to have beer with my Bible studies. But, so, you know, the way I figured it out, rather than ask and get all these opinions, because priests drink, A lot of churches, they drink. I thought, I need to figure this out because the Holy Spirit had put a burden on my heart. So I went to every verse in the Bible that I could find where it talked about wine or strong drink, anything that pertained to that subject in any way, shape, or form. And after I studied every verse that was there, I had to draw a logical conclusion for myself was that shouldn't drink. There's no good come to it. Especially for me. because I believe that my grandfather, who I never knew, was an alcoholic, and I believe my dad was too. So it wouldn't have been good for me to continue on down that road. So thankfully, I figured that out, and the Lord led me away from that. Then it was in the Bible. So you want to make sure you're building on the rock, and that rock is Jesus. Jesus says there's going to be a storm coming, and the only house that's going to survive is the one that is built on a firm foundation, the foundation of God, God's teachings, the Bible, what Christ said in His Word, the Bible. Amen? So there you have it.